coming to worship in the Word, just speak to me in a different way. And what do they preach on? Giving. Oh, Lord, could it be anything else but giving? Anyway, today, I want to talk about generosity. Now, when I start to look at the whole subject of generosity, when the word generosity, and you look at the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's generosity, is mentioned in the Bible, it talks about finances. This is not a message on giving. It's a message on the heart of generosity. And obviously, I'm going to be reading these portions of Scripture out. One thing with this projector is it's not as bright. It's not, the quality is not the same. So we are... Can I read them out slower? I will try. We had some American guests last week, and they weren't traumatized. They were blessed to the extent that, you know, I don't know why, but apparently we've been invited to Texas, Susan and I, so we can minister. So that's a good thing, isn't it? God loves a cheerful giver is what the Bible says. But we're talking about generosity. Now, I want to caveat this message with... I'm going to use Ken because Ken's not here, and I can. I asked him if he'd be part of our ministry team when he retired, and I said, go away and pray about it, Ken. He said, Andrew, I don't need to pray about it. He said, I've ministered in many churches, these are his words, not mine, I've ministered in many churches over many years, he said, and this is a church of generosity. He said, part of my giving is I want to come and serve. Now, that's what I'm talking about today, the heart of generosity. Ken refuses to take any payment for what he does. He says, Andrew, when you give to Khufu, you're giving to me. When you give to your community, I'm part of that. Now, that's a heart of generosity. It's not about finances. It's about what's going on in here. So as I read through these scriptures, and this is 2 Corinthians 8, starting at verse 1, I want you to understand the heart of generosity. These will talk about finances. You know, we need finances to keep the world moving, don't we? We need finances to pay our bills. We need finances so that we can bless other people. There are finances involved, but this message is about generosity. It says this, starting at verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. It's a gift. You know, sometimes we can see generosity. Someone will do something out of a heart that overflows. Why? Because they want to. That's the heart of generosity. And I'm sure you've met people that have had that grace, that gift. They just go above and beyond. Not talking about amounts of money. I'm talking about a heart, a generous heart. And I've been titling my messages for the last month or so, The Power Of. And the reason I use the power of is because, you know, when you go into a dark room, you switch the light on. There's a power encounter. Something that's dark, it's a light. When we look at our car, we get in and we switch the engine on, there's a powerful reaction. We can't go forward unless we have that power. So when it comes to that label, the power of, it's saying, Lord, come and generate this in me. Lord, come and propel me to go forward. Lord, take the natural and help me to see the supernatural. The power, the dynamis of the Holy Spirit, yes? It's called dynamite. That's the word for it. It's a dynamite of the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. So this was a grace given to the Macedonian churches. Listen to this. In the midst of a very severe trial, you know, when you read through and you look at the history, you look at the famine, you look at the persecution, you can understand this wasn't a church that just had everything. It wasn't a church of 16,000 people that all gave $1,000 a week. This was a church that had the grace of God on their lives. And it says, in the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Now, those two words don't necessarily go together, do they? Overwhelming joy in extreme poverty. But when you have a grace upon your life, when you have a heart of generosity, you can give because your heart desires to. And I'm sure you've all been in positions where you've had an opportunity to show that grace of generosity, and you've received it from others. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They weren't persuaded. So often in life, we can be manipulated, can't we? We can be manipulated into doing something, whether it's to do with finances or to do with something else. You know, we can be shamed sometimes into doing something that we really didn't want to do. And in this situation here, none of that was applicable. It was a heart response to a situation. They was impoverished, but they welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, not under compulsion, but entirely on their own. They urgently, listen to this one, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Can you imagine? Just put yourself in their position. They were pleading for an opportunity to serve. They had a generous heart. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. And this, when we look about generosity, whether we're talking about our finances or we're talking about our well-being, we're talking about the things we do. You know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all this will be added. And it's talking about material things. It's talking about the things that we like to do. And the good thing about the Lord is that, you know, we give a small amount to him, and he allows us to do what we want with the rest that's left. The same with that, just that act of generosity. As we give out of an overflow of the heart, we get something back. And as we submit to the Lord first, then we get clarity on what to do. So I want to encourage us as we go through these few scriptures and just see what God says to us, that he may remind us that it's a grace. Lord, gift me afresh with this grace of generosity. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is talking about finances. Finances are included, but primarily it's about generosity. So just imagine, if you want someone to be kind to you, then what do you need to be? Kind to them. Because as you sow kindness, you reap kindness. Generosity is the same. There was, I'm not saying this to say, look at me, aren't I wonderful? But there's some time ago, when I was in business, I was in a fortunate position financially. And some friends of ours, they had a couple of children, and we discussed it, Susan and I, and we said, you know, they need a bike. So I thought, in my wisdom, I thought, I know what we'll do. We've got two bikes in the shed we don't use. They're good bikes. There's nothing wrong with them. We'll give them our bikes. Good story, isn't it? It's a nice thing to do. Anyway, I went to work, and I didn't feel at ease. I came home, and Susan says to me, I don't feel at ease with what we've decided to do. I said, what, give them our old bikes? She said, yeah. I said, you tell me what we should do. No, you tell me what we should do. So we wrote it down, and we both said we should buy them new bikes. Because what we had in our heart was, we'll give them our old bikes, and we'll buy ourselves new bikes. Well, that's not generous, is it? To be generous is to say, Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Now, we're going to purchase two new bikes, because we had the opportunity to do so. That's a heart of generosity, and because of seeking the Lord first, he spoke to us. So the Lord says, I want you to do this. Not just a good idea, it was an inspirational idea from the Holy Spirit. So when I talk about giving, when I talk about a heart of generosity, it has to come from the inside out. But we have to have it poured in first. The Bible says, if you don't know the word, you can't speak the word. You can't share what you don't have. So as we ask God for this grace of generosity, he will give it to us. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We've heard that time and time again. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Have you a loaf of bread? Share it. Generously share it, and you'll receive. You know, this portion of scripture here kind of set me free from that whole area of what should I do? What should I do? What should I do when I treat other people? What should I do when I, excuse me, go out for a meal? What should I do when I give my offering to the church? And I read this, and I want you to listen to it afresh. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. But listen to verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. You know, generosity is about the heart. It's not about the amount. It's not about the amount of grace you show someone. It's what comes out of the heart. A kind word at the right time is an act of generosity. When someone says, I need, and you meet that need, is an act of generosity. Because it comes from the heart. It's not about the size of something. It's about the heart relationship with God. As we ask God to fill us, then he fills us and we can pour him out. So I want to talk about the power of generosity. Because when we grab hold of this in our daily lives, in the way we act and we react, if we act out of a heart of generosity, we will certainly reap what we sow. We will see something coming back. You know, you smile at somebody who's had a bad day in a coffee shop and they smile back. That's an act of generosity because you don't have to. You're paying for that coffee. You owe them nothing. They're there to serve you. But generosity says, I'm going to go above and beyond. And that's what I want to talk about today. The above and beyond, the heart, the power of generosity. This is a familiar portion of scripture if you've been in church any length of time. If you've read through scripture, you'll understand this portion where Jesus talks to a tax collector. Now, a tax collector in them days, many of them were dishonest. Many of them would collect far more. They was only compelled to collect a certain amount of taxes. And they'd add on their share so that they could build up their storehouse. And Zacchaeus was one of those. And everybody knew it. And it says this, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was an important man. He had the opportunity to fleece people at every opportunity. He was wealthy, the Bible tells us. He wanted to see Jesus. He'd obviously heard about Jesus. Bible scripture here doesn't tell us, but he must have heard about Jesus. He must have been in the vicinity of the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. Something must have been happening in this man's heart to climb a sycamore tree so that he could see what was happening, that he could see Jesus. And this portion of scripture tells us that when Jesus got to the place where he was, this tax collector, this man that had duped people out of their hard-earned money, he stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to eat with you today. See, that's an act of generosity. Because he didn't deserve it, did he? No, he didn't. He didn't deserve it, but Jesus gave him an opportunity anyway. There's people in our lives that don't deserve what we're going to give them, generosity. They don't deserve it, but nor do we? You know, we were sinners. God came through the person of Jesus and gave us salvation. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it anyway. So that act of generosity. So what we see in this portion of scripture here, because of the generosity of our Lord, that he didn't go, well, he's a sinner, he's a saint, he's a good person, he's a bad person. No, we're all sinners saved by grace. And he stopped. And everyone would murmur and mutter, I'm sure, and go, do you not realize that he's a tax collector? That he's the one that, he's the reason that I can't eat this week because he's taken far more than he should do. But Jesus showed that act of generosity. I'm using this as an illustration of the simple things that we do at times where we stop and give someone else time. And the scripture goes on to say, after spending that time with Jesus, he said, look, if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to give back. And he went back to the law up to four times. I'll give back here today. An act of repentance because he turned around because of an act of generosity. So often when we think about church life and we think about Christians, people are looking for something different. And there's times, yes, we get an opportunity to share God's word, and God's word is the most powerful thing we can give someone. And there's times that we can act upon that word. So when we say something and we do something, then the dunamis of the Spirit of God comes in, I'm sure, because he takes the word and he takes the heart, and something happens in that situation. You know, people may say this. They may say, I don't care what you believe, but I believe that you care. That's... People have said that to me, and I'm sure some of you have had that said to you. They can see that you care. Why do you do this? There are lots of people who are non-churched, who are good, honest, reliable, generous people. And that's what they are, generous people. But when Christians lay hold of the truth, there's power in generosity. So God will take what you have and synergy will happen. The two will become three. It'll be far bigger than what it is. Why? Because when we take our heart of generosity, we mix it with God's word, we pray into that situation. If this isn't true, nothing will happen. But if it is true, something will happen. You know, have you ever said to someone, they've shared some, there's a situation, and you've just simply said this, I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. That means you're going to give up a portion of time, and you're going to be generous, and you're going to pray for that situation. And then you get a text to say, I really had a good day today, thank you. And you think to yourself, well, I do, well, I only prayed a quick prayer. Well, I still gave up a portion of my time. That's generosity. Because when we allow God into that small portion, it's generosity. When we take our time, our talents, our resources, it's generosity. God will use the natural and turn it into the supernatural when generosity comes into it. Why? Because it's a heart thing. It's a grace thing. We read about it in our first scripture. It's not something that we are compelled to do. It's something that we choose to do. And that's what makes it powerful. Why? Because we choose to do it. Using our church as an example, for those that have been walking with us for a long period of time, the fact that we are here ministering God's word, we are paying our bills, we're sustaining what God has called us to do, is a miracle. And it's a work of grace in people's lives. Because there are men and women that will choose to say, I'm sowing into this situation with a willing heart. And when God sees a willing heart, he takes the amount that we have, whether it's finances, whether it's talent, whether it's ability, he takes it and he multiplies it. Because the Bible says something like this, doesn't it? Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. But if it's sown, it will produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 times. That's the same with our attitude. When we do something and allow God to germinate and water and cultivate that very thing, whether it's finances, whether it's a kind word, whether it's an act, whether it's something we do in secret, something supernatural happens. I suggest that God takes the natural and he breathes upon it and it becomes the supernatural, in the sense that it works in a way that it wouldn't do if it wasn't sown. This portion of scripture here we're all familiar with, and it's when Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were taken, and he watched the crowd putting in money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw large amounts of money into the pot, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins in, worth only a few cents. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he starts to teach them. And he says, you see what she has just done? She's put everything in. Very, very small amount. But it came with a heart commitment. You see, it's easy to give when you have it, isn't it? And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about smiles. I'm talking about that generosity. And we know what we mean by generosity. You pick up the phone, you say to someone, I need help. And they're just about to walk out the door, and they think to themselves, what do you need? Yeah, I can do that. It's an act of generosity. Andrew, have you got 5 minutes you can spare? I have. Even though I should be somewhere else doing something else. It's an act of generosity. So it doesn't matter how big something is. It's when it's done with the right heart, then there's power in what we do. So when we look at this story of this individual who, Scripture tells us, had very little. She wanted to do something with that very little. So what did she do? She sold it into kingdom. She sold it into kingdom. And she was recognized for her heart of generosity. Now, imagine if it's just something that you do for someone else. I was with Davey last week for a few hours, and he had a couple of neighbors that came in. Not because they were compelled to, because they wanted to. They wanted to come in and serve this couple. Chrissy was away, with a well-deserved few hours away, and neighbours came in. Now, the carer came in, but the carer was paid to come, wasn't she? So she didn't come because of her heart, she came because it was her job. But these two neighbours came, why? Because they wanted to. That's not just a nice thing, that's a heart of generosity. They sat there for quite a while, because I was there for a while, and so were they. It's a heart of generosity. So it's not about the amount, it's about the heart. So I want us to just be enthused about generosity and see the power in generosity. Nothing is wasted. And I'm using these portions of scripture because they're the only ones that we have what talks about generosity. We can talk about love, we can talk about care, but when it comes to generosity, it's wrapped around finances. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart is too. So we can see what we care about by what we buy and what we sow our finances into. God gives us an opportunity to see an act of generosity in what we do, not just what we give. And in Mark 12, it says, as I read out before, that she threw in that small amount, they threw in a large amount. So I want to remind us, it's about not being under compulsion. It's about doing the very thing that God has called us to do. Look at this one. In John 12, verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. This wasn't cheap. I haven't done my research, but it was a large amount of money, even in today's pounds, shilling and pence. Or decimalisation. You know, just going off track a bit. There's times where vocabulary is important. My son wanted to borrow my tower scaffold. And he said, Dad, will you measure it to see if it'll go in the back of my car? I said, yeah, not a problem. So I got the tape measure out, and I measured this way, and I said, 35 centimetres. I measured that way, I said, 132 inches. Should have been centimetres. That's being generous. No. That's been incorrect. So there are times where God will just look at us and say, do you know what? That may be worth a lot, but I want you to give it. You may have to give up a day to come and help me in the classroom, but God wants you to give it. You may have to give some time up to take a neighbor to the hospital appointment, but I want you to do it. And here's the difference. If you do it under compulsion, it's just a trip to the hospital. It still serves a purpose, but if you do it out of a heart of generosity, if you're willing to do it, then that journey will be extraordinary. Because as you travel with your neighbor, you will have a conversation. They will say to you, really thank you that you've taken the time. And you'll go, that's fine. That's what the Lord called me to do. You go to church then. Yeah, I go to church. You get an opportunity. It becomes supernatural, not just natural. It's good to do good, isn't it? Because it's good to do. But when we mix it with the Spirit of God, something powerful happens. So there's power in generosity. She took this expensive perfume and she poured it on the feet of Jesus. She wiped his feet with her hair and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. We want to see the fragrance of God's word, don't we? Not the stench of death, but the perfume of life. And when we act in a generous way, then that's what happens. That's what happens. There's a sweet-smelling aroma, the Bible says. And we know that her name is renowned throughout Scripture. We all know about this story. Why? Because of her act of generosity. Now, we don't give to get, do we? We don't go, if I put this hour in here, I'll get 10 hours back. If I put this £5 note in, I'll get 10 times more back. No, but there is a principle. And the Bible says it clearly. It says, when we sow, we will reap. When we give, it will be given back. So there is a principle, and it works with our acts as well. It works at the things they do. The only thing is, I struggle, because when Mike ever says to me, Andrew, can you come and cut the grass, it costs me money because I smashed my windscreens. But initially, it was an act of generosity. Then it was begrudging after that, Mike. Generosity is about the heart, and that's what I want to get across, and I hope I'm doing that. As we go through these scriptures, just illustrating God's goodness to us. In John 3:16, there's an act of generosity. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Act of generosity. You know, Jesus didn't have to, did he? He was willing to. You know, in the garden, when we look at the whole story around before he's crucified, he's in the garden, and it says, doesn't it, that he was anguished. He was sweating drops of blood. Now, you've got to be in a severe condition for droplets of blood to sweat from the forehead. And he looked up and he goes, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can be taken from me, but not my will, your will be done." Act of generosity. He had the power to do whatever he wanted to do. When he was tempted by the devil, he had the power to do whatever he was being tempted to do, but he chose not to. That's an act of generosity. There's times that we can reply in a harsh way and we choose not to. That's an act of generosity. They deserve it, but we don't give them what they deserve. It's an act of grace. It's a gift. And none of us are perfect, me especially. But there are times where I'm challenged by my own food when I look through scripture. There's things that I want to say and I don't say. Why? Because I have a generous heart. Why? Because I'm allowing God to come on the inside. I fail time after time. But there is time after time an opportunity for that grace gift to be cultivated in my life, and I would suggest in your life too. So this is a message about giving. Giving from the heart. Giving from a heart of generosity, expecting something to be sown, to be dead to us, and allow God to cultivate it and let it come up. You know, there'll be things that you've said to people 10 years ago, and you'll meet that person 10 years later, and they'll remember exactly what you did. "I remember that time you did that for me." There's a guy, I've said it before, I was late for home group in my church, and that was frowned upon. And I was late because he broke down on my road where I lived, and he broke down, and his battery wouldn't start. So I went home, got some jump leads, we started it, and he went. Now that was just kind, because I knew what would happen if I was late for my home group or my midweek group. The next week he broke down again. "Is it, what's going?" And I drove past him, and then I stopped and I went back. Why? Because I couldn't. I stopped. Now that was an act of generosity. The first one was just kind. And we're all kind. But there's times we're going to be asked to do the things that we don't want to do. And we make a conscious decision to say, "Okay, Lord, I want to serve you. Come into this situation." That act of generosity. Now, I haven't had a phone call from him 10, 15 years on. But I'm sure there'll be a time where he will see someone in need and remember what someone did for him. That's the power of generosity. As we sow, it will produce. So I want us to understand that. I want us to understand what Jesus did for us when he hung on the cross. It was an act of generosity. He gave so that we could receive. In Proverbs 12:24, "One person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." This is an old saying, but a true one. One person gives freely. And that's the key. The key isn't what we give, it's how we give. One person will give freely, yet gains even more. Why? Because it's sown. You know, when we give of our time and our heart, and we give of our sweat and our tears, when we give of our finances, when we give of our prayer life, when we give it freely, that concept, that principle through the Bible where it says sow it has to be sown, it has to die to us before it will produce a harvest. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before. If you've got something that you're sowing into someone else's life, you can't dig it up the next day and expect there to be fruit at the bottom of it. You have to let time take its course, because there's seed, there's time, and then there's harvest. And some of us, because we're living a life where we're continually being prompted to do the right thing. I'm not saying this is easy for all of us, but what I'm saying is if we have a heart of generosity, even when we don't do what God calls us to do, we know that we should. and we can go back and put it right. As we start to cultivate that heart of generosity, that willingness to do something, then there'll be a harvest down the road. And we'll talk about that harvest in a little while. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And that's a biblical principle. As we give, we get back. As we smile, we get a smile. There's times that we'll give to someone and we get nothing. There was a guy down my road when Max was alive. That Max is not an adult, he's a dog. When our dog was alive, I'd walk the dog down the road and there'd be another man coming towards me and I'd say, "Morning," and he'd just walk by. And I used to think, "You miserable." And then the next day I would walk by and I'd say, "Morning," and I made a decision. I'm going to choose to smile at this man every single morning I see him, regardless to getting anything back in return. Here's one for you. Learning curve for me. You're at a junction and you let the car out. And he doesn't even thank you for it. And you think to yourself, but why did you do it? Because you wanted to. So why are you expecting something in return? You see, if you do it willingly, you've already got your reward, regardless of what they do. And that's the power of generosity. So the time came where one day he looked up and smiled while I was skipping down the road. I'd sold into his life for about 3 years. This man, we don't know his life, do we? We don't know what happens to him when he gets up in the morning. We don't understand what's going on in his life. But something happened. Because I was willing to sow into his life that smile, "Good morning." And eventually he said good morning back. Now that was a triumph. But if I'd have given up because I felt hurt, it wouldn't have been an act of generosity, was it? Would it? See, generosity, when we go back to that first scripture, is in a severe trial. That's when our generosity is tested. It's when we have a famine and we share our food with someone else. We've told these stories before. We've been in fellowship with people in this room and, you know, materialistically we have very little, but we shared what we had. And do you know what? If we look at that in a spiritual sense, when we sold that loaf of bread, that pot of jam, that piece of cheese, sometimes later I can buy whatever I want from the supermarket within reason. You know, we gave out of a heart of generosity. We reaped a harvest in due season. So there's a principle. If we keep persevering, one person gives freely yet gains even more. What an encouragement. And I'm not just talking here about our finances. I'm actually, the message is about the power of generosity in general. On one occasion, an expert in the law, have you ever met one of these people? An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" And that's a portion of scripture here we can miss out on. There's a question, an expert is asking a question. And Jesus says, "How do you read it? How do you interpret the law for yourself?" Because you see, many of us, we know the word. And we know the answer to the question. But we're asking it just in case. You know, when we were younger in church, there'd be teenagers come up to Susan and I and they would say, a particular girl would say, "I've met this boy. He's not a Christian, but I think if I keep praying for him, he will be. Can I go out with him?" We go, no. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. How do you read it? She read it differently to how I read it. You see, I want to protect her. So that was an act of grace, an act of generosity by putting something into someone's life that will produce a harvest if they choose to allow it to die. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he goes on because he said he wanted to understand all this. And who was my neighbor? And there's this long parable about somebody that got robbed and beaten and left for dead. And then the religious and the scholars came by and walked on the other side. And then a Samaritan comes. And it's important to understand this act of generosity by understanding what the Samaritan was supposed to do and not supposed to do. They were second-class citizens to the Jews. Samaritans and Jews did not mix. They were unclean. And yet this Samaritan came along and he picked up this dying man, or this beaten man full of blood and bruises, put him on his own horse or his own donkey, which meant he would walk and allow this Jew to get a lift. He took him to an inn and he said, take care of him. And then he left some money and he said, listen, I want him to have the best. So if he needs more care, I'll pay you when I come back. That's generosity. It's not just nice, not being kind. Everyone's kind to their friends, aren't they? Everyone's kind to their mates. Everyone's will do something for someone that's already done something for them. But just imagine, if you put it into layman's terms, the person that rubs you up the wrong way the most, the person that's always lying about you, the person that's always making fun of your Christian walk, that's the person you've put on in your car, bloodying your back seat. Not only that, you've taken them to one of the best hotels you can find, and you've paid for their care. And healthcare is not cheap, is it? You've paid for it. And you've said, listen, if there's more that needs to be done, I'll do it. Why? Because he had a heart of generosity. That doesn't use them words, but you can see by his actions, can't you? This was not a natural thing. This was a powerful thing. So when we take this portion of scripture and we really strip it down, we can see that there was something powerful happening within this story. Jesus was saying, love your neighbor, not just your friends. Jesus was saying, go the extra mile. If you want to be fulfill the law, if you want to be truly someone that walks in that eternal life, if you want to be a follower of mine, then be generous. Go the extra mile. And now that's not always easy, is it? But we need to preach the truth, because it will challenge us. Two more scriptures, bear with me. This one is in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary with doing good. And we have time after time, don't we, an opportunity to think, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I do this week after week, day after day, month after month, year after year. I am tired. Well, it's good to do good because it's good to do, isn't it? And we're encouraged here in this portion of scriptures. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, we've sown something in someone's life. You know, there's people that you've been praying for years. Well, the Bible says, if you sow, you will reap. So those prayers will be answered. You may not understand how they will be answered, but they will. Why? Because God's word says to us that when his word goes out, it will accomplish. So when we pray, something happens. But it's being sown and we don't see it. When we sow a natural seed, something happens underneath. And the roots go down, and then all of a sudden, there's a little shoot come up. And blimey, in 2 weeks' time, you think, where did that tree come from? Suddenly, if we don't give up, it's the same with our acts of generosity. Do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See, God wants us to bless others, and we will be blessed. Refresh others, and we will be refreshed. I'll leave you with a Proverb 22, verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. It doesn't say the kind. It doesn't say the needy. It says the generous will themselves be blessed because they share their food with the poor. So what this says to me is that they're taking of the little that they've been given and they're sharing it. It's an act of generosity. If you have a cupboard full of a produce, it's easy to take one or two pieces and give away. That's kindness. But generosity is when you provide for that week or you provide for that month. when you take what God has given you and you share it out. Now, God calls us to be good stewards. And a part of this message, it indicates our financial provision and what we do and what we sow. We need to be good stewards. We need to give a bit and we need to save a bit and we need to sow a bit and we need to reap a bit. Yes, we do. But we need to do it with a generous heart. Not about how much you give, it's about the heart in which you give it. And I want to suggest to you that when it comes to our acts of goodness, when it comes to our acts of generosity, if it's from a willing heart, it will produce far more than what we expect or hope for. When we do the same with our finances, when we give willingly, not under compulsion, not because someone's preached a message and made us squirm and feel that we ought to be doing this. No, it has to be not under compulsion, but a free will offering. It has to be something that is given. That widow that we heard about, you might think it's foolishness. Why did she give everything she had? Surely that's foolishness. Well, I can only suggest that that's what she was under compulsion to do. Because even the law at the time didn't enable her, didn't ask her to give everything. Just a portion. Just a tithe. Just a part of. Yet she had something within her. And I'm putting words into scripture, but I'm just looking at her actions. She put everything in. Why? Because I think there was a gift, a grace upon her life. A grace, just like the widow who had the opportunity to give to the man of God first. When he said, what have you got here? Not much, just a little oil. And a little flour. And a little bit of this. And he said something remarkable to her. He said, make me something first. Just picture that, you've got very little. And someone comes up to you and says, will you give me some first? She didn't know what was going to happen, but because of that act of generosity, because of something powerful that happened in her life, she gave to the man of God in this parable, in this story. She gave to him first and then the multiplication come. So often I want to see the multiplication and I'll give out of the overflow. But no, God says, be a generous giver. So when it comes to our life, when it comes to the things we do, when it comes to how we act and react, if we do it in small amounts, medium amounts, or large amounts, really that doesn't matter. That's not the object of this message. The object of this message is to simply say, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. At the overflow of the heart, we will be generous. Even in severe times of poverty, even in times of trial, there was a hymn that we sang here. It's like, I will praise you in the river, or it indicates that you're in a tough position, but you'll praise anyway, you'll worship anyway. It's easy to praise God when everything's good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord, for that car. But when it's gone and it's broken down, we don't go, thank you, Lord, for that car, do we? We go, help. It's easy to be generous when we have three of something and we can give half of it away. It's easy to be generous when we have a cupboard full. It's easy to be generous when everything is going well in our lives. We can be kind to other people. But it's hard when you've spent the last amount of money on a treat for you and your wife, or you and your husband, and you want it to be special, and it's not. It's easy at that point to not have a heart of generosity. But if we have a heart of generosity and we just question things in a polite way, we do things out of that overflow, you'll see the miraculous happen. Because people are looking for a heart of generosity. And I want to suggest as I close this time, is that if we allow God to work in us and through us, if we allow God to rule and reign in our lives, if we give everything that we have first to the Lord, seek first the kingdom, then everything else is added. If we say, Lord, this is yours, help me to be generous with what you've given me. Whether it's time, whether it's talent, whether it's finances, whether it's your ability, whether it's a kind smile, a gesture, doing something for someone that you don't think deserves it. Whatever we do, if we do it with a heart of generosity, I suggest we'll see the power that comes from it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you've given to us. So we thank you, Lord, that we can give to others. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us so that we can bless others. Father, we thank you for the opportunities you give us to be generous. We thank you for the opportunities you give us to sow and to reap. And your word says, as we sow, we reap a harvest of righteousness. As we sow, we reap a harvest of righteousness, a right standing with you. So Lord, bless us this week. Give us opportunities to be generous and to see your power at work. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Emma.
So I've got a question. Who's not afraid of heights? Put your hand up. Right, there you go. Someone to change the bulb. They volunteered themselves.